Hey listeners, we're back and we are no longer talking about audio tours, but instead we're talking about a Twitter Spaces that we did on community.
Yep. Maybe we'll go back to audio tour soon, a little bit of a break. And you might be asking yourself, why not talk more about audio tours? Why not more content about conversations about local spaces and how to experience them through the medium of audio? Well, we're really excited about first this idea of community. We have been for a while, and we just found an opportunity to have a really exciting conversation about it with a guest that we'll introduce soon. But about community first, why are Theo and I excited about it? Well, for me personally, community is an idea these days that is so ubiquitous that it's hard for you to miss as a citizen of the web. We are, every one of us, a part of a community product. Some might call it a social media product, but that's really an idea of a community-driven product. They're products meant to connect us, right? Instagram, Facebook, they're all in that category. And so, yeah, we're all part of this great experiment of online communities. When the communities are done right, I think they can be incredibly motivating. And in the fields of fitness or education, or other sectors that involve behavior change, we know that motivation is incredibly important. It might be the most important thing that you could drive for someone. I've personally had experiences in which I was part of a cohort community and a cohort-based course that really helped me apply and transfer and just stay motivated during a course and just stay engaged with concepts. So for both of those reasons, that they're ubiquitous, that they're highly motivational, I've always had my eyes on community and just excited to talk about it whenever I get a chance. And now, Theo, I feel like you have more complex emotions coming into this chat. Tell us more about it.
Honestly, when I joined this Twitter space, I was a little bit skeptical about this whole conversation, primarily because the word community gets slapped around a lot, especially in this day and age. For example, you join a new product, they will send you an email saying, join our community.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of go like, what does that actually really mean? However, I think this, you know, the Twitter space that we've had, the conversation we had was a really productive one in that we talked more about how to develop deep, authentic connections, which is the basis for all of this. It's why we brought in one of our really good friends, Alberto. He is a ed tech guru who is doing great stuff at Transcend Networks, which is an ed tech accelerator based in Europe, trying to uncover what is the future of work and learning. He's really curious about the possibilities of community in the realm of the learning space.
Just to add on, I think Alberto also has created a community within Transcend Networks, and the common identifier are ed tech operators and builders or aspiring builders.
Yeah.
So we'll probably put a link out to Transcend Network. They also have a fellowship now if you're looking to dip your toes in. So definitely give that a look if that describes you.
Here's a snippet of our Twitter Spaces conversation with Alberto, in which we learned a lot about how communities start, how they grow. And I think the thing that was really interesting was, most importantly, how do they sustain?
There's a book that I read a couple of years ago that was really influentially how I thought about community and even how we build community at Transcend, which is Get Together. And I highly recommend that book. I think it's been one of the most interesting ones in terms of community building. And in Get Together, they have like basically two criteria for what constitutes a community. And it's that these two variables are, one, are there things that people are doing together with some level of consistency? Is it like one activity, one exercise that they're doing together? And then secondly, are there spaces for members of that community to engage and interact? I think YouTube, to me, feels like it definitely covers the first criteria, right? So you might, if you scroll in the comment section of a YouTuber, there's probably a bit of a culture around how people interact with each other, the type of jokes they make. But YouTube is not a very good place for the, I guess, to continue those engagement and continue meeting new members of that community.
So just to repeat back, you're saying that there's two kind of criteria. One is consistency. And then was the other one the one that you were reading in the book about shared interests, Alberto?
It's more like shared spaces or connection
spaces.
So,
okay.
Yeah. So one example to kind of round it out, one of in Get Together, the book, they do case studies of different communities. And one of the most interesting communities they covered was this running club in New York. And it was basically a group of people that started posting their runs on Facebook, and it got a lot of interest from people. So every day, basically, there was a couple, maybe like initially 3 to 5 people that would get together and run at the same time in Central Park. And eventually it grew and it became a space where people would do one thing together, which is run at a certain time, do certain distances. And there's a very clear way to engage and kind of join this community and participate. But then they would organize all these different activities after that were focused on sort of creating more of a space for shared interaction, which I thought was a really neat case study.
Oh, interesting. So you start off with a shared interest, shared space of running, but then it transforms into, the community doesn't have to be built on just the theme of running, but it can be built on a lot of other kind of adjacent spaces that add on top of running as the core theme.
Yeah, exactly. There needs to be an easy way to engage at first, and that was very clearly running, but then after it can branch out.
Something I think about too, Alberto, is related to that example, and maybe your experiences on Transcend as well, building this community. I wonder if you have thoughts on how community can get better over time and scale, and not worse. When I think about that running club example, it definitely gets worse. It feels super intimate with 20 people. It feels exciting with 50. It starts feeling buzzy at 100, but at 1,000, it kind of breaks down. Where, I don't know, like you might have to provide porta potties at a scale of like 1,000. You might have to. There are just like so many logistical problems that happen without facilitation. There's so many new people in that 1,000. They don't understand the culture and the ethos of that community. And I fixate on that because I think this is what happens in every community, in online ones. They tend to get worse with scale. And I think a piece of why it gets worse is because culture, genuine humility and kindness, and just human characteristics in community are really, really important. And when you have this mass influx of people coming in, it's really hard to nurture for that and to maintain that over time. Now, you can definitely lock the community down so there's more limited interaction. So for example, not everyone gets to speak, like in Twitter Spaces, right? But when you have that, then that space that shared space Alberto was talking about is way more constrained. It's just not as exciting and not as participatory.
It's definitely tricky, and there's definitely no silver bullet. I think some of the things that I've seen work well in sort of maintaining a shared ethos or a shared culture is that facilitation component you mentioned, Jim. I think is really important. Like when the way we think about community at Transcend is that we are actually pretty hands-on in the way that we facilitate every single session during the fellowship, so that we know that everybody who's going through the 6-week experience, by the end of that process, they've gone through a bit of a rite of passage, and they all have the same vocabulary, they have the same energy. And sometimes I think of communities as requiring a very sort of top-down facilitation exercise, which is, yeah, I think it's a bit contrarian compared to how other people think about communities. But I think that is a requirement to be able to scale, because you need to make sure there's a kind of a similar ethos. And then I would say, I think the running club is one that is very easy to get started with, because there's a very clear outcome of running. You just feel good and you join a running club to get that accountability. But I'm almost more interested in the truly global communities that are being built today. And I think those, For some reason, it's almost like they actually benefit from having a little bit of density in your own niches and in your own interests. So like at some point, the community becomes more of like just an ecosystem of small groups that you can join. I guess as an example, like imagine that you're in a running club that is global, and there's only maybe five people in your town or in your city. At some point, those five people become your community instead of the larger one. The larger community, just its role is to basically provide a shared language and a shared sense of, shared culture in a way, or ethos. So I guess I always try to think about, if you're trying to build a community and scale it, what's the second level of communities that you want to unlock? Because it often is a kind of a sub-community in a way.
Oh, interesting. So I guess to tie that back, you're describing how the way that community scale isn't monolithically. It's not like, for example, if I were to use Transcend, it's not that there is one global Transcend network that will hopefully grow into the thousands and then into the tens of thousands. It might be more regionalized sub-communities where there is a Transcend, Northern Europe edition. There is, or it doesn't even need to be geographical in sub-community focus. It's more topical. And that's actually how you grow. You don't grow monolithically.
Yeah, that's definitely how I think about it. I think with Transcend, though, we're nowhere near scale. And I think it's still TBD if we really want to scale our fellowship, for example. But I think with companies, I think that the theme kind of subgroups or regional subgroups definitely makes sense. I'm very close with the founders of Stoa School in India. They run a 6-month program that's sort of like an MBA for startup people, like young folks that want to get into startups. And they've done a really good job at creating a community-based learning experience that has some real outcomes. Like, it's not just like, hey, join this community, have fun. This is an actual 6-month program that has a very clear curriculum and very clear outcomes. And when in the conversations with the founders, we've talked about the role of chapters in India, like having a Stoa chapter in Mumbai and one in Bangalore, one in Hyderabad, probably is like the next stage for them, right? Or perhaps kind of creating more of a subdivision based on interests. I think that's probably where it goes next for a lot of the kind of emerging communities we see.
All right. Well, we are now a full 2 weeks after we recorded this, and the time certainly gave us some distance and opportunity to do reflection. And I guess in reflection, tying what we're doing here in this podcast to this conversation around community, the easiest thing would be to say that we are trying to create community eventually with this podcast. Instead, Theo, I think we're much, much earlier in our journey here.
Mm-hmm.
When I go back to what Alberto said, he described the first component of community as consistency around a shared interest.
Mm-hmm.
For their running club, it was running at a defined place for a defined distance together. For us, we're working towards consistency this year in that we're posting week to week. I think that interest, that shared interest that we have, that we're going to share with our audience week to week, I think we're still in a discovery phase towards that right now.
Yeah. And just to recap, not to say that there's a playbook to creating a community. The main insight that I took away was there's almost four phases into creating a community. You first identify a shared interest, as you were saying. You find a way. The second phase is finding a way to be consistent. And then third is growing it into a global community, and then finding niche ways of sustaining with more localized communities. And I think we're still at the first two phases of that, in that we are interested in a lot of things and we are trying to be consistent in exploring a lot of those. And I mean, I think we're finding a lot of different things that we would be interested in, but as part of this exploration and identifying what that shared interest is, it will, bring some people along with us, and will also turn away others as well. And I think that's part of the journey that we're just on right now. And it's a pretty fun one, but definitely an exploratory one as well.
Theo, do you think our shared interest that will land on eventually is this journey of discovery of a shared interest, in which we'll always be in this discovery phase, and that is
that's very meta.
That is it? Or do you think we're actually going to find a topic like audio tours and just stay on it for a full year or a full season, or coffee or something else? Where do you think you'll end up now on February 10th as we have this conversation?
I think knowing us, we will probably spend a good amount of time in this exploration phase, in this experimentation phase. But I do think that eventually we'll hit a point where we're like, dude, I like really love this and I want to like just go deep on this, and I don't want to like be thinking of new concept ideas week over week to experiment with. I think right now we're only in this phase because of, you know, we've been in careers where all we've done is like really focus. And I think this is an opportunity for us to go to diverge a little bit and experiment, but I think there will be a converging moment too.
Cool. I don't know, Theo, maybe I'll put a bet on the opposite.
Okay.
That I think we will find something repeatable and something really engaging for us as well as for everyone that listens to us in this journey of discovery. I think that people are too specialized rather than not in their daily days. And I think people are looking for inspiration rather than looking more focused in the content they're looking for, in the content that they're really engaged by. And my bet is that we'll stumble onto something in which we'll just be able to make this journey clear, crisper, but it'll still feel like a journey and it'll still feel like fresh and new. On topics all the time, I think the process will be more repeatable in terms of how we discover, how we talk about these things, how we move into the different phases of like discovery around a new topic. I think we'll clean that up, but I think we'll stay true to this idea of new discovery and continuous learning out in public.
Well, listeners, that wraps up our conversation about communities and learning spaces. Thank you for being a part of our journey as we try to identify what our shared interest is. And maybe it's actually just the process of uncovering a bunch of different interests at a consistent weekly cadence. Thanks for joining us on this really fun and fun conversation with Alberto and various other folks on Twitter Space world.
Perfect. See you next time.